You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's fresh on the links, or he's done. He's in the 19th hole, whatever he is. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey,
what's going on, guys?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
You hitting at 350 like Bryson DeChambeau?
Well, actually, my tee time's 136. So we'll see how it goes today. But, you know, I went to the gaining weight plan a long time ago, and it hurt my golf game. So I don't know exactly what Bryson's doing.
That's pretty good.
Man. Where are you playing today?
Yeah.
Greyhawk down in LaGrange.
Greyhawk.
Very nice. Well, hit it reasonably straight.
I don't know that play.
Reasonably straight. The folks at Pro Football Talk say a head coach has told them, boy, the NFL hasn't said diddly squat about what's going on. And there might not be a plan in place. Now, we know there's a plan in place. But they're apparently keeping things to themselves, Scott. What do you think is going on here?
It's definitely strange that a lot of the kind of information coming from the league is coming out of NFL Network, and it's leaked memos, and it's nothing really definite and really formal. And I think part of that is because, you know, the virus changes every day and we don't know as a society how we're supposed to handle things. And part of it is the league can't have a formal set of rules and guidelines and a plan until there's approval from the NFLPA. And that's been an issue. And we saw J.C. Treader, I think it was last week, come out and was pretty strong about, hey, we're not reporting until we have conditions that we feel are safe for a workplace. So I think that's part of it, but it is disconcerting if you're a coach. I mean, training camp's supposed to start, you know, 3 weeks from tomorrow, right, is the report date for the Browns. And to not have the certainty is disconcerting. It's troubling. It makes you wonder kind of what curveballs the NFL and its teams are going to have to deal with. And you guys talked about it before. Is it a shortened schedule? Is it, do you consider moving it to the start of the new year and hope there's a vaccine or hope it dies down a bit, you know, and try to figure out that way? The NFL hasn't shown any inclination to want to do that, but I think they know in the back of their minds that they have to be flexible.
Do you think there's a way to have offensive linemen wear masks or wear something different? Or, you know, I still see, like when I go to the grocery store sometimes, folks that work at the grocery store, that there could be a way to, you know, to refit NFL helmets with a shield that might be able to change, you know, the way we're thinking or help out with not being able to transmit if somebody was positive on the field but had already tested negative. I'm trying to find an answer.
Yeah, and that's a good one. It's an interesting one. I know I've seen a couple prototypes floated around the internet and say there's no way we can play with that. But when we talked to J.C. Treader, and this is a while ago since we talked to J.C., the idea of a mask the players could play in had just kind of surfaced. And he said they were willing to explore anything. And I think if you could find the right one that made the players feel safer and didn't keep them from performing, right? You have to be able to breathe, all those things.
Right.
If you found the right one, I think well-founded questions and concerns the players have. Because you're right, there's no way, and I'm not a doctor, but if the defense, if the center goes against a nose tackle 70 plays a game, and they're sweating and breathing and all that stuff on each other, if one of them has them, you would assume the other guy's going to get the virus. So either nobody can have the virus, or you're going to have to come up with a way to prevent the spread, and that seems as good a way as any, given the just circumstances of playing football.
Scott Petrak's joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. Scott, we've been discussing the Browns offensive talent, you know, endlessly. And we like it, and we like it, and we like it. And they're very good and all that. Bucky Brooks, NFL.com analyst, came out with his best starting five. And I thought this was pretty interesting because as if Baker Mayfield needed more pressure on him, as if Kevin Stefanski did anybody else, he looked at the best five skill position players on teams in the NFL. And he had the five of Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and Austin Hooper as the number one starting five in the NFL. And he called it an all-Madden team on the perimeter. And I thought, woo, okay. Baker, good luck. How do they pull all that together, Scott, and make all of those guys happy? And maybe more important than happy, effective.
Right. It does increase the pressure on Baker. But I think any quarterback would take the pressure if you promised him he would have those type of players around him. So, you know, I don't think Baker's a guy to shrink under that kind of pressure, and he better not be. And any quarterback would have to welcome that pressure and welcome those guys around him. You know, I think Kareem Hunt is a little bit of the separator there. Because if you look at wide receiver tandems, I think Beckham and Landry are near the top. I don't think they're at the top. I don't think Austin Hooper's the best tight end in the league. But then you look at Nick Chubb, and you can make an argument he is the best running back or in the top five. And you can make the same argument that Kareem Hunt is in the top five or ten. So I think that's where the group is elevated and jumps to number one, like Bucky said, and I probably would not argue with Bucky's assessment. And how they make it effective, it's a great question, and I think it's one that I don't know if it keeps Kevin Stefanski up at night, but I know it keeps his mind busy, and I know it excites him and might worry him at the same time, because there's no simple solution for that. There's no way to say, yes, we're going to get Odell 10 targets and Jarvis 10 targets and Nick Chubb 25 carries and Kareem Hunt 20 touches. Like, it just can't happen that way, and it's going to take creative play calling and creative game planning, and it's going to take an unselfishness from the players. And I do like that when you talk to, whether it's Alex Van Pelt, the coordinator, or Chad O'Shea, the receivers coach, or Kareem Hunt, they all mention how it's team first and numbers have to come second, and they're going to really have to practice that, because that's going to be paramount. If everybody's going to be happy, even if you go out of a game, come out of a game, and it's a win, and Jarvis only had two targets.
Team first. Doesn't seem like David Njoku's team first right now, especially when you look at the headlines on BrownZone.com with Scott Petrak. What's the latest on Njoku, and should the Browns feel any pressure to trade him despite the fact that his agent is saying, trade him?
Right. Well, here's where I'm kind of torn. On one hand, you know, your new GM in Andrew Berry. So I don't think you can just cave to any trade demand. And I think we see this across the league where teams choose to either grant the wishes or say, no, you have to show up. And I think Andrew Berry's in a position of strength because, first of all, I don't think David Njoku's that good a player. Second of all, they have Austin Hooper. They drafted Harrison Bryant. They have Farrell Brown and Steven Carlson. I don't feel like they're desperate for David Njoku. Now, yes, he's the second-best tight end on that roster, but he's not a make-or-break player, right? He's not even in that conversation. We talk about the five guys that need to be on the field, the playmakers. So I think Andrew Berry can draw a hard line if Njoku wants to hold him, you're not really missing anything. Having said that, I wouldn't miss David Njoku, so if you can get a fourth-round pick back for him, I would also consider that. So I think Berry has to decide, do I want to take a hard line or improving my team, getting rid of a guy that, in my opinion, isn't necessary for this offense, even though he has potential. I think he's too inconsistent. I haven't seen any signs that inconsistency is going to go. But it's also interesting that David Njoku, you know, I don't know what kind of leverage he thinks he has. I don't know why he feels this regime that's said nothing but good things about him. Yes, they went and got Austin Hooper and they drafted Harrison Bryant, but he will play a lot if he were on this offense. Might be blocking, but I don't think I think he would only help himself in the eyes of the league if he played a year in Kevin Stefanski's system as opposed to demanding a trade.
And it's interesting because if you're the Browns, why would you even bother, Scott? You know, I mean, you picked up his option for next year, and you like tight ends, and you're not thinking, unless some team that liked him when he came out would be willing to take a reach and give up more than he has shown that he's worth in the NFL. I like the guy. I think he can be a really talented guy. But I just thought, that's what the – you want to trade, huh? Because, as you said, there's no leverage there at all.
Right. And I think you like him more than I do, Jeff. And I think that the reason you would trade him is if you said he's really not of that value to us and we can get greater value in a trade. So that gives Barry the leverage. He can say, hey, I'm hanging on to this guy until I get whatever I want, whether it's a third-round pick or fourth-round pick or a linebacker that might be able to compete for playing time, something along those lines. I think the Browns have all the leverage. You know, I mean, Njoku could still draw interest because he was a former first-round pick, because he has the physical gifts. And those guys, you know, that type of player tends to have some kind of market, you know, teams hoping to kind of resurrect his career. But I just haven't seen enough. And to me, he's got no leverage at all.
Scott, I want to steal one out of your mailbag from your column. Has Baker Mayfield really matured? I love the headline, and I'm going to really like to hear your answer on this one.
Well, I think the signs have been positive. And the fact that he's not – doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot of Twitter fights, right? He's not going after Colin Cowherd or whoever it is, right? All the kind of fights in the offseason headlines that Baker made in the previous couple of years. Having said that, I think it's been an easy offseason to not make headlines and to kind of stay low-key given the pandemic, given the George Floyd and the concentration on racial injustice. I think Baker knows well enough to it's not the right time to make headlines over silly things. And the real test will be if and when the season starts, if and when Baker's criticized, how does he handle that? How does he handle the two or three times that he needs to talk to the media every week? Does he still keep this mature attitude that the coaches want him to keep and the coaches have stressed to him that he needs to keep? So the signs have been positive, but the true test will come when he struggles or when the Browns lose.
All right, Scott, go drink about a gallon worth of protein shake and go do your best Bryson DeChambeau.
Well, I appreciate it. I hit it about 100 yards less than him nowadays, so that's disconcerting.
Just pull out your 5-iron. You'll be good.
That's
my advice today.
There's a basket thing for you. Scott, thanks, buddy.
Thanks,
right,
man.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Petrak's work can be read at brownzone.com and in the Chronicle-Telegram. He covers the Browns, and he joins us every Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.